Thank you very much. When I was Talmid in the yeshiva, the Mashgiach used to speak every year, and he always used to say that the Bali Musar in Europe, Flegen Zogen, they used to say that Rosh Hashanah on a Kabbalah is Nishken Rosh Hashanah, that if you don't make New Year's resolutions, you're not Yotzei Rosh Hashanah. And he would point out that Tosis points out on the first daf in Chulin, Tosis quotes a Medrash Rabbah on the Pasuk by Yankov Avinu when he was running away from Esav, Ayida Yankov Neda Lamer, Yerelikimi Madi, etc. So what does the word Lamer mean? So we usually translate by Dabashal Moshe Lamer, the Lord spoke unto Moses saying. So the Medrash, the Gemara in Yuma does not understand like that. Gemara in Yuma says, Dabashal Moshe, Lamer Li Yisrael. Lamer doesn't mean saying. Doesn't mean you put a colon with a quotation mark. Lamer means Lamer Li Yisrael. So how do you translate Ayida Yankov Neda Lamer? How does the word Lema fit in over there? So the Medrash understands Lema Ladoras. Yankov Avinu took a neder because he was Be'ez Tzor, he was running away from his brother Esav who wanted to kill him. And he accepted upon himself. Accepted upon himself a Kabbalah. Yelikim Imadi, Be'eben HaZosher, Samti Matzevi, Yel Be'ez Elikim. So whenever a person, that's on the first page in the third Chelik Yeridei in Hilchus Nedarim, it says, even though we usually assume, Tov Mizem Mizesh and Neidu Kalikar, best is, the Pasuk says, if you have a toss-up between not taking a neder at all and taking a neder and violating it, so the Pasuk says, but then the Gemara says, Tov mizeh mizeh, best is never to take any neder at all. But it says in the Yeridaya, they quote this Medrash on the first page in Hilchas Nedarim, that Beis Tzara, it's a mitzvah leader, so Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is an Eis Tzara, the whole world is being judged. Individuals and the nation and the whole world, all the nations of the world. So that's why this is special inyan to be mekabel beli neder, okay, to be mekabel kabbalas, to accept upon myself oneself resolutions. My father-in-law was a very mekuriv to the mashgiach and the mir yeshiva. Say after he in Europe, say after he passed away, the children found in his desk about 25 index cards. He would write Kabbalahs every year before Rosh Hashanah. Easy Kabbalah, it's going to be Mavis Sedra every week, and he's going to try to learn up so much Gemara, and he's going to try to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur, everything, all easy. You don't accept Kabbalahs that are very difficult. Accept easy Kabbalahs. So I wanted to go through some of the issues that there's room to make Kabbalahs. I'm not talking for Satma, I'm not talking for Flatbush, I'm talking for our group. We believe, as the Mishnah says, Torah, Moshe Kibbel Torah Mi Sinai. Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu Mi Sinai. What does it mean, Mi Sinai? So, some assume that the whole text of the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So the Gemara points out in the first paragraph in Chagiga that this is not true. The Psukim say that the Chumash is, the Apikursim say that the Chumash is a composite of different texts. So the Gemara says that. The Gemara says it based on the Pesukim L'chumash. Sometimes the Pasuk introduces a Parsha, Adab Mashal Moshe B'Har Sinai Lema. Sometimes it introduces a Pasuk by saying a Parsha, Adab Mashal Moshe Me'oel Mo'ed Lema. And sometimes it introduces a Parsha by saying Adab Mashal Moshe Me'arvis Mo'ev Lema. So the Gemara says the Torah was given three different times with three different texts. And the text as we have it today is a composite. Truly, it is a composite of the three different texts. But all the three texts were dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, word for word and letter for letter, to Moshe Rabbeinu. We learn Adinim from an extra word and from an extra letter, from a missing letter. So our tradition has it that everything was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. But it's not true that everything was dictated Mi-Sinai. There was text B that was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu by Olmoy, and there was text C that was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu in Arv Ismael. So the Chumash is not all about Damash HaMosh and the Har Sinai Lema. So what do we mean when we emphasize we believe in Torah Mi Sinai? So some assume that what it means is that the binding force of all of the mitzvahs today is because of the bris, the covenant that was entered upon at Maimon Har Sinai. So we just read in Parashas Nitzavim last week that that's also not true. The bris at Har Sinai apparently was only binding on the people who were alive at that time. The second bris that was made at Arv Ismayav, that's recorded, the text of the bris is recorded in Parshas Kisavai. The first Teuchecha in Parshas B'chukaisai says, Eile Dibri HaBris, Asher Kras HaShem and Esau B'Har Sinai. And the second Teuchecha in Parshas Kisavai is the text of the bris at Arv Ismayav. What was the need for another bris There already was a binding covenant at Har Sinai. So the Pasuk says in Nitzavim, Lo yitchem levatchem anochi karisos habris hazos v'sa'ol hazos. This second bris is not only binding on the people who are alive today, like the first bris at Har Sinai, ki imas hasher yeshnam po, v'es hasher inenem po yimanu omer hayom. So Rashi HaChumash quotes the Gemara Shavuos, that es hasher inenem po is referring to the Doros HaBoim. So the fact that we today are obligated to observe mitzvahs is not because of the bris at Har Sinai. It's rather because of the bris at Arbis Moyov. So what does the Tana mean when he emphasizes, what do we emphasize so much Torah Misinai? The text of the Chumash is not all Misinai, and the binding force of the mitzvah is also not fully Misinai. The binding force is because of the bris at Arbis Moyov. So the Pashtus, the Gemara says, Torah Misinai means that the way you learn Torah is supposed to be just like at Maimon HaSinai. The Torah was received by Emo B'yira B'reses of Izia. The people were trembling, they were petrified, they were Eish HaGdoilon and Kol HaShofar and noises and everything. Everybody was frightened. So too, learning throughout all the future generations should also be by Emo B'yira B'reses of Izia. That's what we learn now from Har Sinai. That's what it means. Moshe Kibbol Torah MiSinai. Just like the Torah was learned then, mitoch pachad and trembling, so too the Doros. And the Gemara speaks based on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, of a Talmud hayoshev lifnei rabbi, and the Talmud is kibitzing. He's not too serious. The Gemara says, called Talmud, who sits in front of the Rebbe Shebeinsev, sosev notvas mo'over. His lips don't quiver, tichbena. He should be punished, his lips should be burnt. That's the expression that the Gemara uses. He's supposed to learn Torah in a very serious way. Liman HaTorah is not supposed to be a game. It's not supposed to be just intellectual gymnastics. Rabbi Yonah Ries was the Menahel of the yeshiva for a few years. Now he moved on. He's in Chicago. He comes back to the yeshiva every month to give shiurim. So he introduced a new thing in the yeshiva. The students who apply for smicha anas, or who apply for the Kollel Elyon, have to write a Dvar Torah. We have to have a group of 7 or 8 rabbanim read all of the essays and determine who is entitled, who is roy, who is fit to get these honors, extra money, and who not. So I remember when he first introduced it, so he and I had both read all of the essays. Some of the other people on the committee did meet all the essays. Both of us had read all the essays. And when we came to the meeting, we both said, I don't know who the applicant was. Every essay just had a number. It didn't have a name of the person. I said, I don't know who wrote this. We both said the same thing. We disqualified this person right away because he quoted a Gemara. I don't know, the person may be in the audience. I don't know. I don't know who it is. So he wrote a whole Dvar Torah about some complicated Gemara. Then he says, could it be the Pshat is like this? No, that's not correct because it is Gemara. Could it be Pshat is B? No, that's not correct because of that Gemara. Could it be Pshat is C? That's not correct. And then he got involved. Is it this or this? And then he says, then he writes in Hebrew. The whole Dvar Torah was written in a nice, decent Hebrew that I remember. And then he writes, and now the game is up. What do you mean the game is up? Learning Torah is a game. You're just juggling around ideas. You're tossing around ideas. Learning Torah is supposed to be very serious. The Gemara has a beautiful expression. When the Tanoim were learning, Hadvarim smech mekinesinot samesina, the Torah is very cheerful. It doesn't mean that when you learn, you should learn in a dreary fashion. You should be morose. It should be cheerful, but it has to be be'ema, be'ira, be'reses, be'zia. Learning Torah is not a game. Something very, very serious. And we all have to realize that. Like the Rob said before, Chaim She'eshman, Avas Torah v'yira shamayim. There has to be, with the Avas Torah, while you're learning, you have to have yira shamayim also. It's not just, I love to learn because it's very pleasant and everything is like a game. Learning is not supposed to be treated as a game. We say every day in the davening, L'sencha kena b'seir osecho. The men, the women, everybody davens. L'sencha kena b'seir osecho. The tefillah comes from Pirkei Avos at the end of the fifth perek. We have that tefillah yotzen shibana beis hamikdash b'meher v'yameinu. L'sencha kena b'seir osecho. All of us, each and every Jew, has a chelik in the Torah. Many people make a mistake. They think that liman hater is only for the rabbanim or the malamdim or the mechanchim. A person already, or students. But once you've already graduated, so you're no longer a student, so if you're not a teacher and you're not a rabbi, so why are you mechuyev to learn? That's a mistake. The Rambam starts off Hilchas Talmud Torah. young and old, healthy and sick, people till the day they die, mechuyev to learn. Whenever they have a free minute, they mechuyev to learn Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is for everybody. And every person has a chelik in the Torah. I have acquaintances who are doctors and lawyers and engineers and scientists, and they know how to learn better than rabbis and yeshiva. They're just not cut out to be rabbis and yeshiva. But the obligation to learn is on everybody. It's not just on the mechanchim, not just on the rabbanim, or the students who are still of the age of a student. We all have an obligation to learn. We have to realize that. Many years ago, Rabbi Lichtenstein, Zechon Levracha, was giving Teuchoche at one of the conferences. He was complaining about the fact that by us, the summer vacation is longer than it is by the Chassidish people and by the Yeshivish people. And the hours of instruction in the course of the day also shorter. So if you learn, we're not such big geniuses that because we have secular knowledge, therefore we will succeed in learning Torah better. We need less time to accomplish more. It's just not going to happen. If you have fewer hours in the course of the day of learning and you have a shorter schedule in the course of the year, you're going to know less. Be'echriach, you're going to know less. He said, there's no excuse. That was his time. There's no excuse to have such a long vacation period. There's no excuse to have shorter hours of the day. You have to, and some schools give up on Sunday and on Friday, every month in Gedanishtik, every secular holiday and every religious holiday, every other day. There's no school, so you're not going to learn. At the end of the day, if you don't, lo yagayte matzasa yal tamen. If the students don't work hard to succeed in learning, they're just not going to succeed. They won't be matzliach in learning. So on the one hand, learning is for everybody. We all pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Simcha Kenu Maaseh Secha, give us a bigger share in the Torah. Why should one settle for less if you can get more? On the other hand, Paskin and Kshailis is not for everybody. Yes, it's a democratic, it's a democracy. Learning Torah is open for everybody. We have to teach Torah to anyone who's interested. But Paskin and Kshailis is for only for the experts. It's not for everybody. It's fortunate, it's a wonderful thing that we have so many people learning in yeshivas. I don't think in the history of the Jewish people, we never had so many people learning in yeshivas all over the world. But because everybody learned in yeshiva till they got married or whatever, till they finished college, doesn't mean that every Tom, Dick, and Harry is entitled to an opinion on Paskening and Shaila. You have to speak to the experts, like in any field. Just today, I was learning with my students. Learning Gemara Sanhedrin this year. It happens to be my favorite Masechta, because when I was when I first entered into Rav Soloveitchik Shir, he was learning Sanhedrin for 2 years, so he covered the whole 90 blot in the course of the 2 years. So that I enjoyed that very much. So that's my most favorite Masechta. So we were learning Davavam and Aleph today. So Tosfos says Halacha Lemaisa, when you have a Din Torah, you follow the majority. The pasuk says in Chumash, "Achir Rabin Lahatas." If it's a split vote 2-1, so the roiv wins. What if they agree to a pshara? So a pshara is also a psak. Pshara is also a din Torah. It's not just that they agree to an arbitration. It's not an arbitration. It's not a compromise. A pshara doesn't mean I ask for $1 million and he doesn't want to give a penny, so the bezin divides in half. So you have to be a genius to divide in half. To make a pshara, you don't have to have big rabbanim. Pshara means a psak of lifnei mishuras adin. The dayanim have to paskin what Yosha dictates in this case. Sometimes Yosha dictates exactly the same as the halacha. Sometimes Yosha dictates punkta hepach of the halacha, and sometimes it's somewhere in between. In between what the halacha says and punkt faker. So Tosfos says, and this is quoted halacha lemais and choshem mishpat, that in a pshara you don't go basarayv. If it's a split vote 2-1, you don't go basarayv. I'm telling the students that I was once participating. I rarely participate in the Dinei Torah. I have no time. I'm busy in yeshiva. So once there was a sichzor between a rabbi and a balabatim. So it pressured me to participate in the Dinei Torah. The rabbi didn't want to retire. Balabatim were complaining. He's repeating the same drushes over and over and over again. They want a new rabbi. So it was an issue. So I remember I participated in the Dinei Torah. So they agreed they're going to have a pshara. Okay. We always recommend they should agree to a pshara. So the third, the Shalish, the third Dayan, was an easygoing fellow, and whoever would scream louder, he would agree with him. But he was a big Tamcha. So I'm not a professional Dayan, and one of the fellow against me was a professional Dayan, so he was a professional screamer. He was screaming and tumbling and tumbling, and he thinks the Pshara should be like this. So the third Dayan, the Bara, the Shalish said, okay, he goes along with him. So I was outvoted. So I said, you can't outvote me because this is a Pshar and you don't go Basarayv. So the third screamer says, since when? So I said, that's what it says in Shulchan. He says, he never heard of that. So the third Dayan, who was quite a Tam Chacham, so he said, it's a Beferish Adin of Shulchan Aruch, the Beferish Taisis. So I paralyzed the Bezdin until I agree to a reasonable Pshar. The Allah says that Pshar, you don't go Basarayv. So I remember when we learned this in Gemara in Rav Soloveitch's class, he was suggesting a Pshat. I don't think this is Pshat in Taisis. He was suggesting, why is it that by Pshara you don't go Basarayv? So he said, when you have a Din Torah, Din Imamines, Din Nefashis, we're trying to figure out what it says in the Torah. Moshe Kibbel Torah Misina, there is a Torah. And the laws of the Torah are binding. And the rabbis are not making up things from thin air. They're trying to ascertain what did the Rabban Shalom tell Moshe Rabbeinu. Or based on the rules and regulations, what should the Din be? So then the Halacha says, Acharam Lahatis. But when you're talking about a Pshara, and not trying to figure out what is the objective truth of the halacha. A pshar is always subjective. It's subjectively, I feel Yeshua dictates like this, and you feel correctly, from your perspective, honestly, so you feel Yeshua dictates like that. So both of them are correct. So you can't go basarayv. You can't say that it's 2-1, so therefore the two are right and the one is not right. The one is right also. He's saying, the fianius daiti, my subjective feeling indicates that the Yosha dictates like this, and everybody's right. So you can't go basarayv over there. You only go basarayv. We're trying to ascertain what the din is. We have to keep this in mind that when you're paskening shailas, you're trying to ascertain what the din is. Whether or not the rabbis don't have the ability to make up dinim. They have no right. They're not saying hefke bezna hefke, and they're not making up their own dinim. They're trying to ascertain what was it that was told to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Kibbel Torah Misinai. We have a concept, we're all familiar with the concept, the Gemara says, the end of the first parak in Erevin, regarding the many disputes between the Bishayim and the Bishil, we usually, most of the time, pasken like Bishil, with a few rare exceptions. But nonetheless, when we study the opinions of Bishamai, that's not considered Bittul Torah. Even though we know in advance that that's not the halacha, that's the Kima Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. To use Rav Soloveitchik's terminology, it is a cheftz of shel Torah, even though there's no chovas hagavra to follow that. But Eilu v'yedah dibul kimchaim not only means that there's a kiyum of Talmud Torah, the Gemara has much more than that. We are very respectful of the shitas that were outvoted, even though we don't paskin like that. Take, for example, the second night Rosh Hashanah, the common practice is that everybody has a pri chadosh or a begad chadosh in order to be able to recite Shechiyonah. What's the issue? Because the Rishonim had a dispute because of the fact that Rosh Hashanah is Yom Arichta, Kedusha Achas, so maybe you don't have to recite Shechiyonah on the second day. Any other Yantav Sheni Shel Golias is Shtei Kedusha, so you have to say Shechiyonah. No dispute about that. But the second day Rosh Hashanah is a Machlokes, so Halacha L'maaseh be paskin that you say Shechiyonah anyway, whether you have a pri chadosh or not. But because of the chashash of bracha levatala, so we go out of our way to have a picharish and beg a chadosh to satisfy that opinion as well. We do that a lot of times. Take, for example, the Bahag's opinion that if a person missed one day in Sfiras HaOmer, so his opinion is that there's no longer a mitzvah, you blew it, and there's no longer a mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. So Taisa says there is no such halacha, we don't pass like that. But because the Sefer Halachas Gedolos was written in the times of the Gaonim, he himself was not from the Gaonim, but he lived in their period. He associated with them. So therefore, we are choshish with the shitas of Bahag, out of respect for the halachas, we wouldn't say a bracha. If he missed one day in the sphere, we wouldn't say a bracha. Strictly speaking, we don't really paskan like the Bahag, but we have respect for his opinion, so we leave out the bracha. Or we have respect for the Bahag's opinion. This is a quote to Bahag, that even though the women are mechuyev in mikra and megillah, but a woman cannot read the megillah to be moitzi a man. So we don't paskan like the Bahag. If it'll shaila come up, halacha l'maaseh, it has come up to me, Shaila comes up, the only person who can lay in the Megillah for the husband, is not well, and he's sleeping half the time, most of the day he's sleeping, and you can't get a Bal Kori to come read the Megillah when he's going to be awake. So can the wife read the Megillah to be mitzvah? So the answer is yes. The wife can say a bracha to be mitzvah the husband to read the Megillah. You don't have to make everybody crazy to get him in. But lechatchila we don't allow it. Out of respect for the Bahag, we don't allow it. We do that a lot of times. You have a chasana. So Rav Soloveitchik Gobes used to make such a big production about Yichud Eidim. I remember at my wedding, Rav Soloveitchik told me I should single out the Eidim by name. I didn't know who they were. My father-in-law picked out two rabbis from Brooklyn who were friends of his. I never saw them before. So Rav Soloveitchik said, I have to be Miyachad Eidim by name. Then they mumbled their names. I didn't hear what they said. I had to say it over a second time. But the whole thing is only a chumrah. So basically, the whole Yichud Eidim is only a chumrah. Mikra, then you don't need any Yichud Eidim. We go out of our way a lot of times like that. I think Rabbi Kanefogel told me that he published an essay where he collected, I think, 13 cases in the Shulchan Aruch where they quote this attitude from the Hasidi Ashkenaz. Mishkanaz Yankim has such a tshuva in Hilchas Ervin, where he sent his tshuva to the Beis Ephraim. So he has in a footnote there in bold letters, all tshuvas in Rashi script, in the footnotes are in bold letters, in black letters. So he writes that this was a theme that was introduced into Psak Halacha by the Hasidi Ashkenaz, the late period of the Bali HaTesis, that's Amar Rutenberg, and after him, that they try to do things in such a way to satisfy all of the opinions. Why? We treat it as a Mirich Hasidus, we treat it as if it's a Sveika Deraisa L'chumer. Okay, this is a theme that was introduced into Psak Halacha. But the Paskin Shailas, you have to know what's a real din and what's a chumrah. You can't confuse a real din with a chumrah. Connection with yesterday's sedra, the Gemara in the end of Masechet Shabbos quotes, "Kishenichnasu chachamim lekerem biyavne." So one of the Tanoim made a statement that we see from the Nevi'im, from the Navi Amos, "Asida Torah shetishtakach miYisrael." The Torah tells us that the Torah will be forgotten. The Navi tells us the Torah will be forgotten from Bnei Yisrael, and he quotes the pasuk, "Hinei yamim ba'im niyum Hashem v'hishlachti rov ba'aretz." Everybody knows the nigun, "Lo rov la'lechem v'le'tzami la'mayim kiim l'shmas divrei Hashem." And the pasuk also continues, "V'no miyam ad yam mitzofim v'ad mizrach yishotu t'lavakish zvar Hashem v'lo yimtzo." So you see from the pesukim, you see from the Navi Amos, so the Torah will be forgotten. So Reb Shem Bar Yochai got up and he said, "Chas v'shalom." The Torah says in yesterday's sedra in Vayelech, "Ki lo shishachach mipira." Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. What does it mean? The pasuk there in Amos that they'll be searching. What's the halacha? So he says, "No shalayimtzu halacha brur mishnah brur b'makamecha." In every generation, there are a lot of talmid chachamim who know how to paskan the shailas correctly, but because there's so many others, there's so many other people clouding the horizon. So that's why you don't know who's telling the truth, you don't know who's passing it correctly, you don't know who's making a mistake. And every generation we have Talmid HaChacham. There are those who think, look, Rav Soloveitchik passed away, so there's no one to ask any shailas. Rav Soloveitchik passed away, Baruch Hashem, there are people to ask shailas. The Gemara has a whole discussion regarding the Shemoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last Aliyah, that describes the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Gemara says it has a special status, a special halacha, yochid kari yosem. What does it mean, yochid kari yosem? So the Rishonim have different interpretations. So the Rama and Shulchan Aruch quotes the pshat from the Mordechai, yochid kari yosem, you give chosen Torah to the Rav, to demonstrate Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, but the world didn't come to an end, Yeshua ben Nun took over. Yeshua ben Nun passed away, and we have a Rav. Every shul has a Rav, a Talmid Chacham. Some of the shuls have Rabbanim who are not Talmid Chacham, but Baruch Hashem, there are shuls where they have Rabbanu who are Talmid HaChachamim. So that's why you give the Rav, the last Aliyah, Moshe Rabbeinu died. It's not the Rav Soloveitchik died, there's no one to ask any shailas. Baruch Hashem, there are people to ask shailas, and it's very important to ask the shailas. And the Balabatim, who are not in the area of Psak, should not really be guessing on their own what they think the halacha should be. The Mishnah has a statement in Pirkei Avos, HaSeiloch HaRab, Histalik Menasok, V'altar Balasur Modos. So Rabbi Chaim Volozhin has in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, what did the Tana put together? Three totally unrelated statements. Aseilach Rav, you should pick out one Rav and ask all the Shalos. Histalik Menasofik, Altarba lasu amadis, what has it got to do with each other? So he explains, Asei lecha rabbi, have to ask all the shaylas. I, a person, will decide, I'll always go lechumra. So the Mishnah says, you shouldn't, the histalik menasafi, you shouldn't live with sveikas and always go lechumra. What's so bad about going lechumra? So the Mishnah points out, Baltarba la asur modis. The Gemara tells us, if a person is mafrish maisris, he has to know exactly how many bushels of food he has over here. And if he's going to give too much maiser, so the Gemara says, Tevula maiser morav mzebezeh. He was mekalkel. When he's going to give, maiser was only chal on 10%. If you're going to be generous and you're going to be give 15% of everything that you have to the Levi, so only 10% of that will be maiser, and the 5% will be tevel, because you didn't yet take out maiser sheni. You didn't. When you take out maiser sheni later, it's not chal on the 5% extra that you gave to the Levi. So the Gemara says, you make calculus. So that's Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner points out. A lot of times a person does what he thinks is a balabos, does something that he thinks is a chumrah. It's really a kula. You have to be very learned to know what's a chumrah and what's a kula. Truth of the matter is that every chumrah is maybe the day kula. This morning I went to buy a dalad minim that was setting lulav and esrik. So some people spend a fortune of money on dalad minim. I'm not so wealthy, and I don't spend that much money on the dalad minim. Every chumrah has a kula. The extra money, you're going to spend $180 on a lulav and esrik, so you're going to have less money to give to tzedakah. If I spend $40 on a lulav and esrik, that's kosher. Nothing wrong with the $40 lulav and esrik. So I have more money to give to tzedakah, and I'll give the extra money to the tzedakah. So that chumrah is maybe the day kula. That chumrah is a kula. People have mahadrin. They want dafka this hashgacha, that hashgacha costs much more. You're going to spend more money on the hashgachas. You're going to have less money to give to tzedakah. There are people who are starving in the world for food. You have to be careful. A lot of times they make a chumrah. The chumrah is a kula. It's before Yom Kippur now, so people are calling up with shaylas and the base medrash, they're asking shaylas. The people who have mamish chayla mesukonim, and the doctor tells them they're supposed to take medication. Oh, they're machmer. They're not going to take the medication on Yom Kippur. Idiot. What do you mean? What are you being machmer? The halacha says you have to take the medication. Remember, I go to Tannersville in the summertime. So there used to be a woman there. She told me, I never realized that she wasn't healthy. She told me that she has some kind of cancer. And it's already 30 years that she takes pills every day. But on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur, she doesn't take the pills. I said, are you crazy? He said, no, I'm still alive. 30 years already that I don't take it on Tisha B'Av Yom Kippur. I said, you're not allowed to be machmer there. You have to listen to the doctors. That's not a midas chasidus. The Sefer Yisrael Hetter quotes, Sefer Yisrael Hetter quoted every page in Yeridei. It's always on Basar B'Cholov and Treifus and Kashrus and everything. But he has one section about Dinei Choyla. So he tells about there was one Bala Tosfos, nobody famous, not the Rabbeinu Tam of the Ri, not a famous name, who was deathly sick, and the doctor said, If he fasts on Yom Kippur, he will vaday die. And if he eats on Yom Kippur, it's a sofik. He may survive, he may not survive. So he decided on his own, ain't sofik me'etzim midei vaday. Since there's a vaday yisr that you have to fast on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat. And it's only a sofik if he's going to eat, and it may help him save his life. So he decided on his own, he's going to fast on Yom Kippur. And they all screamed at him, Yom Yishugan. And lo and behold, he died. And the Rishonim all said, Doma Berosha. He brought upon himself his own death. That's not a chumrah, that's stupid. That's a kula. You have to be careful. People think everything is a chumrah. It's not a chumrah, it's a kula. There's a fellow who used to go to the NCSY learning program in the summertime. So he came back to America and he made his parents crazy. He's not going to eat turkey because he heard this rabbi doesn't eat turkey. He's not going to drink milk because the other rabbi doesn't eat milk. He's not going to eat... He has to insist on having glatt kosher, and he can't eat paspalter, and every chumrah under the sun, he combined everything. He made everybody meshuggah. He hurt his parents' feelings, hurt his grandparents' feelings. He can't lead a life like that. His chumras were kulas. He was insulting everybody. Oh, the whole family were all religious people. They were all Yirei Shammai. That's what they say. Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told the Talmidim in Kol Tarash, Nas Hashmito. So there's an issue, the farmers in Eretz Yisrael who rely on the Het HaMechira. So the Het HaMechira is very, very questionable. But that's an ASIC for the farmers, whether they're allowed to rely on Het HaMechira to do Avodas HaKarka. But as far as the consumers are concerned, that's not our ASIC. So there is a minority opinion that if the farmer wasn't Mafke the Peiris, he kept the doors locked. He didn't allow, it didn't require that you have to open up the doors to the farm, you have to let everybody take whatever they want. So the farmers rely on the Het HaMechira, so the field belongs to a guy. So So you don't have to be mafkirit. So there are others who are not happy with that kula. So there is a minority opinion in Rishonim that Mishumer, the Tosfos on the last daf in Yevamos, quotes Rabbeinu Tam, that Mishumer is also Bachila. If you have peres that they kept the gates locked on the farm, so you're not allowed to eat those peres. So there are those, but the Chazon Ish and all the Poskim say, we don't Paskim like that. That's a minority, but you don't Paskim like that. Then there's an opinion that Nevad is also. If they did Avodas HaKarka and Shnas HaShmita against Halacha, then you're not allowed to eat the peres. We don't Paskim like that either. There's such an interpretation in the Rambam. And Nevad is us. So Mikra Din, Nevad is Mutter, Meshumer is Mutter. So Shlaim Zalman Arbach used to tell the Talmidim in the yeshiva in Kol Torah, they didn't rely on Het HaMechir. But he told the Talmidim, when you go home and your parents rely on Het HaMechir, don't give them a hard time. Mikra Din, that's the halacha. It's just a chumra. You're not supposed to be mevazi your parents. Don't give them Agbas Nefesh. Don't violate Kibbut Aviyim just because you want to have chumras. People have to be careful that the chumras should be mevili de kula. We don't recommend chumras. Chumras are for real tzaddikim. Chumras are midas chasidus for real tzaddikim. One is on the madrega. The Gemara says Rabbi Akiva was machmir in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Akiva was machmir. They satisfy both opinions. So most people, as a midas chasidus, that's called sveika deraisa l'chumra. If you have a real sofik 50-50, so you say sveika deraisa l'chumra. If it's not 50-50, we know what the psak is. As a midas chasidus, we consider that a form of Sveika Deraisa L'chumra. But sometimes we do recommend chumras. The Mesillas Yesharim writes, we have a pasuk in chumras, Shishmartam is Mishmarti, the concluding pasuk in Parsha Zachari Mois, and the Gemara Yevamos understands, Asum Mishmeres L'Mishmarti, that's the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Aseis Yog LaTorah. So the Mesillas Yesharim says that pasuk is not only speaking to the Rabbanim and the Bati Dinim, that they should introduce Aseis Yog LaTorah, Rabbanim should make Exeris the Rabbanim. Pasuk is speaking to each and every individual person. If I happen to be in a situation, I'm in the diamond business, so if there's a chashash and there's some kind of a possibility of violating aver in the diamond business, which doesn't apply to anybody else, I should go out of my way to be careful to make a siyog. If I teach in a university and there's a certain chashash of violating an aver because people who teach in universities are doctors or lawyers, whatever field you happen to be in, whatever generation you live in, whatever society you live in, if there's a chashash for you, so you should make a hachrake. And those of us who do study secular studies, our chaver, our olam does study secular studies, there is a chashash that we're going to fall in with all kinds of things. So we should introduce chumras on our own. I remember when I was a student in college, so on Wednesday afternoons, I used to have a professor. He used to say things that were always against our masorah. So I used to feel bad about it. So on Wednesday night after his class, I used to sit for an extra half hour in the high school dorm. I don't know why. In the high school dorm, I used to learn Tanya just to clear my mind out, to be mechazek myself. I wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but if you're exposed to anti-traditional professor, then you have to be mechazek yourself. The pasuk in Tehillim speaks about something we're not sure what it is. Kerum zulos livnei adam. So the Gemara Bracha says it's a reference to tefillah. Tefillos from the dvarim ha'omdim berum shel olam, and bnei adam is alzalim b'hem. We don't understand what does it mean. Tefillos from the dvarim ha'omdim berum shel olam. What is the Ribbono shel olam? What's so important about tefillah? The pasuk has in Parshas Bereishis. In Perik Beis, in Parashat Mechalsiach Hasadat Terem Yeh Baretz V'chaleisim Hasadat Terem Yitzmach Ki Elohim Ter Hashem Elikim Av Haaretz V'adamayin La'avodas Adomo. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah on that pasuk that Siach Hasadat Terem Yeh Baretz. Siach Hasadat means V'yetzi Yitzchak Nasuach Basadat, means there was nobody praying. Doesn't mean the grass wasn't growing yet. V'chaleisim Hasadat Terem Yitzmach means that the grass didn't pop up yet. But Siach Hasadat is a reference to tefillah. Means Adam Arishan wasn't yet created, so he couldn't daven for the rain. So the Baruch Shalom didn't bring any rain until Adam Arishan is going to pray for the rain. The Baruch Shalom is not going to bring rain until Adam Arishan is going to pray for the rain. Apparently the Baruch Shalom wants people to pray. We don't understand. What does he need it? We can't understand too much about the Ribbono Shel Olam anyway. But this is one of the six that we don't understand. But the Gemara considers tefillah from Devarim Ha'am de Merum Mishalaylam. There is a Yiddish expression. A lot of times you have a pocket sitter. Everything is in tiny letters. And when you have, it says the same bracha with St. Talamatza, that's in tinier letters, because it tells you in the summertime you say this, in the wintertime you say that. So it's half the size of the letters, which are anyway small. So there's a Yiddish expression, Azoiv Grois, V'Atalamata, Aklein Sidderal. It's so big, like the letters Talamata, where the next to the same bracha, and the small sitter, that they're really tiny. And despite the fact that it's so tiny, if you said the same Talamata in the summertime, you have to daven over. If you said the same bracha in the wintertime, you're not Yoitzi. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, we don't understand it, but Tfilah, the Gemara says, Dvarim Ha'am de Merum Mishalaylam. Those who introduced the Tfilah, those who composed it, but Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, who amongst them are Behem Kamenevim, amongst them are prophets, and they understood something we don't understand. They understood something about this issue of Dvarim Ha'am de Merum Mishalaylam. Tfilah is supposed to be Avodah Shebalev. It's supposed to be Mechabim when we daven. How many of us are mechavim when we daven? We daven so quickly. How can you? We don't speak Hebrew all day long. So Hebrew, even those who do speak Hebrew all day long, you're not used to tefillah. People are not mechavim. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Tov mi'at bekavana mehar b'shaloi bekavana." It's better to say less and pay attention to what you're saying and to know the pirush amilus than to say more without kavana. Unfortunately, we live in a generation that Rav Huttner had to have the famous comment, "Tov mi'at shaloi b'kavana, mehar b'shaloi b'kavana." If ben kavakot is going to be shaloi b'kavana, tazog v'vitziga. What are you going to gain by saying? Everybody says the slichas, they don't know what the words mean. So say half the slichas. So what do you have to say so much without knowing? But we should really do tov mi'at. Shulchan Aruch says, "Tov mi'at b'kavana, mehar b'shaloi b'kavana." We don't daven properly. When someone is in Avelis, he has to daven for Anam. You hear the way he skips every other syllable and every other word. Obviously, all the years, he was never davening. They're missing all the words. We have to train ourselves and train our children to daven properly, to say all the words, and to try to figure out what the words mean. To daven with a siddur that has a translation. The Gemara speaks about the significance of tefillah b'tzibur. A lot of our shuls are empty in the middle of the week. On Shabbos and Yom, Baruch Hashem, they're crowded. That's where it was in the days of the Gemara. The Gemara has a din that the Kohen, we don't permit the Kohen to be Moichel on his covered on Shabbos and Yom, because if one Shabbos will be Moichel on his covered to this fellow, because he has yard site, whatever, they're having a Simchas, so he'll be Moichel on his covered. Next week, it won't be Moichel for another Bala Simchas, so it'll cause friction. So the Gemara says that this halachi is not allowed to be Moichel, the Kohen is not allowed to be Moichel, if they dark Hashem, because it'll cause friction. The Gemara says it only applies Shabbos and Yom Tov where the shul is crowded, but on Sheni v'Hamishi the shul is not so crowded, so the din doesn't apply. No one's going to realize that. It won't cause any friction. So the Balei HaTesis say, but by us, in the days of the Balei HaTesis, they had tiny communities, they had barely had a minyan. So the same minyan, the same 11, 12 people were there on Shabbos and on the weekdays, it was the same number of people. So the Balei HaTesis say that today, Shabbos and the weekdays, same thing, so the Kohen is not allowed to be Moichel at all. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that Bizman Hazeh, we went back to the style in the days of the Gemara. The shuls are empty in the middle of the week. Shabbos and Yom Tov, they're crowded. So the din is that the Kohen can be Moichel on his cover, and Sheni Mechamishi can be Moichel on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Och and Veda, we went back to the meeting of the days of the Gemara, that the shuls are empty on the weekdays. People don't show up to Tefillah B'Tzibur. That's terrible. The Gemara says how important it is to daven Tefillah B'Tzibur. Henkel kabir lo yemos, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'tfilos harabim. If you daven on your own, you're running the risk that your prayers may not be answered. Who says that you're so worthy that your prayers should be answered? But if you daven b'tzibur, the Gemara understands that you stand a much better chance of having your prayers answered. We have to be more medactic on tefillah. We have to be more medactic on tefillah b'tzibur. Kriyas HaTorah is a disaster. Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah. People talk in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. People walk out. Some shuls even have kiddush clubs. Mamash achil Hashem. Kriyas HaTorah is supposed to be like the Rambam writes by Hakel. We just read yesterday about Hakel. So the Rambam writes Hakel is a reenactment of Maimon Hasina. The Rav Soloveitchik used to popularize the notion that Achrayim have in Shulchan Aruch. They quoted from the Bach that every Kriyas HaTorah is a reenactment of Maimon Hasina. Maimon Hasina is supposed to be be'emo b'yira b'resas of Azia. Supposed to be trembling. It's supposed to, says in Shulchan Aruch, that the Kriyas HaTorah should be from an elevated platform like Maimon HaSinai was on top of the mountain. In a Beis Medrash, The whole Beis Medrash is miuchet for learning. So the whole Beis Medrash is considered the top of the mountain. So that's why in yeshivas they don't have an elevated platform for the shulchan in the middle. But in the shul, the rest of the shul is miuchet for davening, not for learning. So the Kriyas HaTorah is supposed to be on top of the mountain. Supposed to be reminiscent of Maimon Hasina. Maimon Hasina was Be'emo B'yira B'resus of Azia. They didn't walk away. The Pasuk says in Mishlei Meseraz the Mishmaya Torah Gam Tvi Losa Ta'evo. The people don't pay attention to the Kriyas HaTorah, or the people don't pay attention to the rabbi's Shiurim. In all the shuls for years and years, the rabbi used to give a shiur between Mincha and Ma'ariv. They either learn on Yankov, or learn Mishnayos, or learn Nach, whatever it would be. Remember, Rabbi Bro used to give a shiur in Novi, used to speak in German. I took German in college, but I couldn't understand one word that he was saying. He was speaking a highfalutin German. Rabbi Schwab used to speak German that we could understand. It was like half Yiddish. But Rabbi Breuer's, I didn't understand. So, if you don't pay attention to the shiur between Mincha and Ma'ariv, then your tefillahs are worthless. Meisaras mishmata gam tefillosa te'evo. The Gemara says that the people used to work all week long, and on Shabbos they had off from work. So the Rav used to give a shiur in halacha on Shabbos afternoon. So the Gemara says in Gittin that there were several mishpachas used to party on Shabbos afternoon. They had a noinik Shabbos, and they would never attend the Rav shiur. So the Gemara says that when the Churban Bayis Sheni took place, they were punished more than everybody else because they were mevazeh the learning. It's scandalous. The Gemara talks about Abba Chiluki Kapar. The Gemara said there was a Tana, Rav Masya ben Chorosh, who lived in Rome. There was a big Jewish community in Rome during the Zman Bayis Sheni, and after the Zman Bayis Sheni. They had a lot of shuls there. They have the Jewish cemeteries from the times of the Bayis Sheni. So the Tana, Rav Masya ben Chorosh, lived there after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So he has the famous Abba Chiluki Kapar. So if a person... four different levels of averus. If a person didn't daven one day, didn't say krishma one day, he was mevatel mitzvah, didn't like tefillin one day, so if he does tshuva, the tshuva will be accepted and he will be forgiven right away. If he violates a loisesei, so tshuva teila needs yom kippur to be mechaper. If the loisesei is for nechamuris, it has krisis and mises bezin, then the tshuva and yom kippur is not sufficient, he'll have to suffer yisurim later on. Doesn't have to be Yisurim, like going through the Holocaust. The Gemara talks about the light Yisurim. Mashgiach always used to mention, put your hand in your pocket, and instead of pulling out a nickel, you pulled out a penny, you have to do it again. It's also a level of Yisurim. The Gemara says, all Yisurim add up together. And then the fourth level is Chil Hashem. A person does a Chil Hashem. So the tshuva with the Yom Kippur, with the Yisurim, is not going to help. Ad Yom Oso, and the Gemara quotes Psukim for that. So the Gemara says, Hechidam Chil Hashem. The Gemara gives the answer. The Gemara gives the Moshe. One is Mevaza Talmud Chacham, or Talmud Chacham who is Mevaza himself. Talmud Chacham who does something that looks like he's going to do an Avera. The Gemara gives the Moshe. Rab says, if I go to the butcher shop and I buy meat and I don't pay right away, and some of the Balabata may think that I'm going to pull a fast one and I'm not going to pay tomorrow either, so that's a Chil Hashem, because they think that the Rabbanim are supposed to be the leaders of the Jewish people. So if a Rab does an Avera, unfortunately, in the last couple of years, we had such scandals about Rabbanim. I'm embarrassed to be a rabbi. A Rav does an Avera. A Rav does even a slight Avera, Kal v'chaim, a serious Avera. That's a Chil Hashem. This is what this is represents, the Jewish religion. The rabbi is supposed to represent the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk, Es Hashem Elokech Atira. The Tanoim used to darshan every time it says the word es, like it says v'lo yeachal es b'sara by the Shara and Niskal. So the Gemara says es hatofel b'sara. Es means not only the basar of the Shara and Niskal is also b'ano, the or, the hide is also also. How do they darshan es l'rabbis es or? Es hatofel b'sara. Or v'rochat says called b'sara b'maim. Es is marbe even seir. The seir is attached to the body. So when a person goes to the mikveh, it's not enough. V'rochat says b'sara. V'rochat says the seir also. Es includes the Seir. It says, Es Hashem Kachatir L'Rabbis Tamir HaChachamim. Why? Tamir HaChachamim are always assumed to be closest to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And if you want to know what Tzelem Elokim is all about and what Elokus is all about, you're supposed to look at the Tamir HaChachamim. That's supposed to be the dogma. So Tamir HaChachamim who do Averis, or Tamir HaChachamim who do things that might mislead the public into thinking that they're doing an Averis, the Gemara said that's a Chil Hashem. If people are Mevazah Tamir HaChachamim, that's Mamash a Chil Hashem. The Gemara considers it one of the worst averes, Mevaza Tamir HaChachamim. The Gemara uses an expression, apikairis. So the Maril has a tshuva. It was once the local sheikhet was Mevaza the rabbi in public. The shaila is an apikars who shachat shchitos and nevela. And the Gemara says one of the mevaz that tamachachm is an apikars. Really, shchitos and nevela? That's what it means. So the Maril has a tshuva. He says, nah, it doesn't mean it's an apikars. Apikars means one who doesn't believe in the Kori Hamunah. Means he's going to be punished with a serious onesh, just like an apikars will deserve a punishment. But it doesn't mean he's an apikars. But it's considered a serious aver. Our mothers and our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers, when they used to bench licht on Shabbos and Yom Tov, they used to always offer a prayer that their children and their grandchildren should grow up to be Tamid HaChamim. In America, when the first people came to America, they wanted to Americanize. They were afraid that children should become rabbis. Rabbis not going to make a parnosa. So everyone's afraid. They wanted to Americanize. They're afraid that their children will become rabban. For centuries, for generations, that was the highest level. Everyone wished that their Tamid, the children will be Talmid Chacham, they should marry Talmid Chachamim, and so on. We have to be careful when we sit at the table. It's on Shabbos. So a lot of people have a game. They poke fun of the rabbi somewhere. They have to make fun of the rabbi. The rabbi probably gave a very good drasha. If we prepared, he probably gave a very good drasha. We should say over the good parts of the drasha. Well, you have to make fun of the weaker parts, if there was a weak part. There isn't always. Our most prized possession are our children. How long do we live? So we project into the future by having children. The Gemara has a comment, Mishain Labanim Choshev Kemeis, because he's not going to project into the future. So you should adopt, or you should support Torah. The Gemara says, Psukim Inovi. So we have to be Mechanach our children. A mitzvah to be mechanach the children. A fellow calls me up, he lives in New Jersey somewhere, he doesn't live here. He's a friend of mine. He's afraid to give Musa to his son. Maza, why are you afraid to give Musa to your children? How did you raise him in the first place? You should have given him a chinuch that he should understand on his own what he's not supposed to do. People are afraid to give Musa to their children. They don't raise their children properly. It's not supposed to be hefker. People send their children to secular university. Mayasa ben shalo yachta. He sent to secular university. Vada binichshel. How is it shaykh? He should keep Torah mitzvahs in a secular university. That's how we lost so many generations here in America, because the parents wanted to Americanize and they sent their children to the big Ivy League institutions, and we lost them for Yiddishkeit. We have to be mechanach our children for Torah mitzvahs and for midas as well, midas tovus. I remember with respect to one of my sons, there was a toss-up which yeshiva we were going to send him to. So this toss-up was, there was one yeshiva where the learning would be excellent. But the kids were very wild. And the Rosh Yeshiva were very abrasive, very fresh. And we realized he wouldn't pick up Midas Tovus there. He would pick up a lot of learning, but he wouldn't pick up Midas Tovus. And the other yeshiva, the learning was not that good, but the Midas were much better. So we decided that we have to be madif to midas tovus. There's a famous comment from the Beis Halevi. He was asked as a child, which does he think is more important, midas or deus or hashkafas? So as a young child, he said that in Bereshis, the pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a comment, Nasa Adam Mitzalmen. He said in the plural, Nasa Adam Mitzalmen. What does it mean? There's only one God. Shem Lakeinu Shem Echad. So who's talking over here? Who's the board of directors over here? So the Gemara says that the pshat is HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the angels. What do the angels know? Why do they have to consult with the angels? So the Gemara says that Rashi and Chumash quotes the Medrash to teach us the lesson that even if we are the biggest geniuses in the world, we should always consult with people who are less intelligent than ourselves, just like the Rabban Shalom consulted with the angels before he created Adam Rishon. But if you write that in the plural, Nasa Adam, you run the risk of having someone think that there's more than one God. That's a pikusis, that's a kilkul and deus. So the Beis Halevi said as a child, you see from the pasuk that the Rabbanu Shalom felt that it's worth running the risk of having kfira, believing in do rishuyas, in order to teach the lesson of modesty and humility, that a person should always consult with those who are less intelligent than himself, that midas are more important than deus. Person has to be a mensch. Every so often there's a case, a divorce case, and then there's an issue of custody, who's going to have custody of the child. So one of the parents is religious and the other parent is not religious. But the one who's religious is neurotic and crazy. They're going to raise the children as religious Jews, but they're going to be crazy, like the parent is crazy. So it's better to be raised by the normal parent. I think it's better to be raised by a normal parent who is not religious, going to send the children to a public school, rather than to be raised by the Meshuggah parent. We want crazy children. We want normal children. Then we would like also that they should be observant as well. But more important is the midas rather than the hashkofas. You have to be careful not to exaggerate when we're machanach our children. Our chevre doesn't have this, but we see by the others, sometimes by the Hasidim. They don't want their children to fall in with any apikursas, so they say, there's no chokhmah by the goyim, everything the goyim have to say is stupid, there's no value at all, don't go to university, there's nothing there to learn. Then the kids are exposed to something and they say, wow, there's so much chokhmah by goyim. Everything my parents told me was false. Sheker hin chilalon avisenu. That's terrible. The Gemara tells us Chachma Bagoyim Tamen. We teach our children Chachma Bagoyim Tamen. Yeah, we're very much for Chachma Bagoyim Tamen. We shouldn't exaggerate anything, but when we emphasize the fact that there is Chachma Bagoyim, we should emphasize to our children Torah Bagoyim Al Tamen. From the Chachma Sumas Oilam, that's not going to guide you how you're supposed to lead your life. The Torah tells us how to lead our life. Torah b'goyim, Torah means hadracha, to teach one how to lead one's life. You can study all the secular studies in the world, it's not going to make you a Yirei Shamayim. Torah b'goyim, al tam. You have to learn Torah. Chinuch has to be an emesdika chinuch. It shouldn't be with exaggerations and it should be proper. Rabbi Gerelik, Zechon Lebracha, used to give the mashal from the Shulchan Aruch that the first 2 days of Sukkot you need Shalachem on the Dalad Minim. So let's say the parent didn't give the Lulav and the Esrik to his wife yet. He didn't give his wife it. One of the children wants it. So he'll give the Lulav and the Esrik to the child and have in mind not to be makna to the child. So it's not going to be Shalachem. So it's only chinuch, so what's the problem? So most of the poskim hold in Shulchan Aruch that that's not proper. They have to be makna, has to be shalachem. So he used to emphasize all the time that the chinuch has to be emezdika chinuch. You can't have an imitation. You can't have sheker. It has to be an emezdika chinuch. So we shouldn't exaggerate. Every exaggeration is sheker. We should emphasize that chokhma bagayim tamen, yes. We all send our children to graduate school. Nachon. But we have to explain. We have to explain to them what's the Iker. The Iker is the Torah. And the other things is Chachma. Chachma Bagoyim is not going to lead to Torah. It's not going to lead us to know how to lead our lives. We all fought Tzionut. We all believe in Zionism. But there are 613 mitzvahs. You can't take the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael and say that's more important than all the other mitzvahs. Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha are more important than Tzionit. The Halacha says that little matar v'lisa yisha, a person is permitted to move to Chutz Lartz. Why? Because the whole mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is if you have a reasonable alternative. You can either live in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Lartz. So then the Halacha says you should choose to live in Eretz Yisrael. But if it's unreasonable, you're going to live in Eretz Yisrael, you won't marry the girl whom you're in love with. You won't be able to learn Torah. Even though there are yeshivas, but I'm in love with this Rebbe. I want to learn by this Rebbe. I want to learn in this yeshiva. So that's not a reasonable choice. So certainly, yes, a lot of our children go to Eretz Yisrael. They're so gung-ho about Tzionut. They forgot about Chinuch HaBonim. They forgot about all the Shemiras and Mitzvahs. They forgot about everything. What happened to all the other mitzvahs? What happened to the other 612 mitzvahs? Tzionut is a mitzvah, but the other mitzvahs are perhaps even more important. Many of our chevre are learned. They learned in the yeshivas. They know how to ascertain whether any given din is a real din de rabbanon or it's only a minig. And a lot of times people will have the attitude, well, it's only the rabbanon anyway. What do you mean it's only the rabbanon anyway? So therefore, that's how the conservatives used to say. Conservatives used to say, if it's only a din de rabbanon, so the din is heimam of heimamru, so we're rabbanon. So we can undo the din of the Rabbanim. The Gemara talks about the pasuk Paritz Geder Yishachenu Nachash. When the Chachamim make a Gzeira de Rabbanon, that's called a Geder. I say Siog Latar is a Geder. So Paritz Geder Yishachenu Nachash will be bitten by the Chivya de Rabbanon, by the rabbinical snake. Means they'll put him in Cherem. Nachash, the Rishonim used to say Nachash is Rashi Tevis, Nidah Cherem Shamta. There are two opinions, whether the three different things, Nidah Cherem Shamta, there are only two. Nidah Cherem and Shamta are the same thing. So those who say the three different things used to say this Rashi Tevis. Adin the Rabbanah has to be observed meticulously. A minik has to be observed meticulously as well. Many people have the mistaken impression that Rabbi Soloveitchik was mevater on all the minhagim. He was a stickler on minhagim. The people only knew him superficially. A lot of people who saw him every day only knew him superficially. They didn't pay attention. He was a stickler on minhagim that the Mishnah Berurah says we don't observe anymore. He said, no, the Shulchan Aruch says the minik, so they have to observe the minik. If he had a tradition that this is a minik toys, then he wouldn't follow it. Just today in class, we were discussing the Tosfos on the Avavim and Aleph about whether Mechila Tzricha Kinyan. So the Chazon Ish and his brother-in-law, the Stipler, had the practice that when they were never practicing rabbis, so they never sold the chametz for the community. So when they wanted to sell the chametz, they would ask the rabbi to sell the chametz. So the minig usually is you appoint the rabbi as a shliach to sell a chametz for you to an ochri, and the rabbi makes a kinyan suda. He gives you a handkerchief. In exchange for it, you give him the right, the power of attorney, to sell a chametz for you. So the Chazon Ish and the Stipler held that that's a minig shtus, because the Rambam says that there's no need for a kinyan and nothing is accomplished, and it has no meaning at all. So minig shtus, so you don't observe it. Rav Soloveitchik was such a stickler on that minig that you have to make a kinyan. So he told the students in the yeshiva, every rabbi knows that on Erev Pesach in the morning, as he's about to go sell the chametz to the guy, he always gets a phone call, Rabbi, I forgot to come and ask you to sell the chametz for me. So the balabos asked the rabbi over the telephone, please, I want you to sell the chametz. How can the rabbi make a kinyan tzura over the telephone? So the rabbi explained two ways to solve the problem. How to make a kinyan tzura over the telephone. Okay. Ein kan amochma. I wrote it up in my safe in Nefesh HaRav. The rabbi is a big stickler. Anolim in Hagim. Anolim in Hagim. If it's a minig shtus, it's a different story. The Maharil writes in one place. Maharil was a baltfila a lot of times. Maharil writes in one place that he was davening in Regensburg for the Amen in Germany, in that kehila. So they were saying a piyut that was composed by Rabbi Chaim Regensburg. So he felt that they said it in the wrong place. Sometimes they say a piyut in Shachar, sometimes in Musaf. So he decided to say it in a different location. He said the piyut, but he said it in Musaf instead of Shachar. And that year his young daughter passed away, a young child. And he attributed the death of the child to the fact that he was Mishana the Minig. What's the Mida Keneged Mida? The Pashtus is... Pashtus is that Minhagim make a connection from one generation to the other. You transmit Moshe Kibbutar Messina Mesor Yeshua Yeshua Liskenim. The Torah is transmitted from generation to generation. So he felt, I violated the Minig, I wasn't carrying on the Masara, so that's why I didn't deserve to have a child. I'm not going to transmit to my children the Masara that I got from my ancestors. You have to be careful with Minhagim. If you have a big Mora Hara, the Chazon Ish, Rav Soloveitchik, big Dailim, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, they have tainus against the minig, all the minig shtus. Okay, so you have Adam Gadol says the minig shtus, so you don't do it. If that's your Rebbe, just a lot of Rabbanim in the world. What the Chazon Ish held was a minig shtus, Rav Soloveitchik thought was a serious minig. Things that Rav Soloveitchik taught a minig shtus, maybe the Chazon Ish thought were valid minhagim. So each one should follow. All the dinim of the Rabbanim are very serious, and all the dinim of the Rabbanim are very serious as well. A lot of times people have the attitude, it doesn't make any sense. They're going to judge on their own. It doesn't make any sense. His father called me up on the phone. Wealthy family. They always used to visit Eretz. So their family, their grandfather, all the way back. Very religious people. Always wealthy family. They always used to observe 2 days Yontif. Different opinions, whether a tourist observes 2 days Yontif or not. In the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, there were always tourists who came, Jewish tourists from the Arab countries neighboring Eretz Yisrael, and the minig always was they observed 2 days Yontif. The Chacham Tzvi says one day he never stepped foot in Eretz Yisrael. It was never Zeicha. For centuries the minig in Eretz Yisrael was that they observed 2 days Yontif. So this wealthy Talmid Chacham, he's a Rav, I think, he calls me up on the phone the other day. His son is going to Eretz Yisrael on his own with his friends, and he decided he's only going to observe 1 day Yontif because it doesn't make any sense to him, a teenager. It doesn't make any sense to him. Illogical. I said, you're the father. He may come to the yeshiva with his son. I should speak to the son. The grandfather used to come to Rav Soloveitchik. He used to sit in the front row all the time in Maria. And the grandson decided on his own that it doesn't make any sense. So I told the father he should tell his son the Rambam and Hilchos Shmita v'Yovel. The Rambam quotes the opinion of the Gaonim that we follow, that Tavshinayin Hei was Shnas HaShmita. Because we say every seventh year is a Shmita. So the Rambam quotes it and he disagrees. He says it doesn't make any sense to him. Because the Gemara says that the Yovel, you're supposed to count 50-50-50-50. You don't count 7-7 Leon Avoid, you count 50-50. And the Yovel year is a blank year. And even though we don't observe the Yovel today, but we should count the Yovel year as a blank year to push off the next Shemitah. Shouldn't be 7 years later. So the Rambam disagrees with the Gaonim. He says it absolutely doesn't make any sense. But then he says, Halacha L'maaseh, we should follow the Gaonim. Why? Because the Gaonim lived in Eretz Yisrael. There were Gaonim who lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they observed Shemitah. And this is the way they observed it. The Rambam says, the Minig and the Masorah is an Ika Gadlam Psak Halacha. That's how we pass. So the Raibid disagrees, but the Rambam over there, he thinks he should follow the Rambam. That's what the Rav once said, to the best of his knowledge. It's the only place where there's a machloika is the Rambam and the Raibid. The Raibid says you should paskin like the Rambam, and the Rambam says, don't paskin like me. The Rambam says, paskin like the Goyim. And Rab Chaim has a famous essay in his Sefer on the Rambam. He explains why the Goyim Shita makes perfect sense, why it's 7-7, why you don't count it as a blanket, even though it ended by his Rishon period. They pushed off the next Shemitah because of the blank year of the Yovel, but it doesn't apply to a very simple explanation, not so deep. But the Rambam was so convinced that it doesn't make any sense at all, but then he gave in to the Gaonim. He says, the Minig and the Masar is Ika Gadol B'Halacha. We shouldn't be so convinced that something doesn't make any sense. If it has been observed, the practice for many years, let's have a big poysik, a big Adam Gadol, who takes the responsibility on his own. He says, like the Chazan said, there's a minig shtus. He thinks that that's what it says in the Rambam, that making the Kabbalah Kinyan by the Mechiras Chama is a minig shtus. The Chachamim tell us in Bava Kama, Hai man de boi lemevi chasidi l'kai mili, de brochas l'kai mili, de nezikan l'kai mili, de ovis. Famous explanation in the Vilna Goyen that people, Rishayim, sometimes divide the mitzvahs into two categories. Bein Adam L'Amakam, Bein Adam L'Chaver. So the Vilna Gaon says there's really a third category, Bein Adam L'Atzmo. Mili Davis is Bein Adam L'Atzmo. And it's all based on the Pasuk, V'Halachta B'Drochav, in Parshas Kisavoy. We should imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do you imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A little child imitates, he makes believe he's a doctor. So he makes believe he's taking your heartbeat, and your blood pressure. Someday he may become a doctor. A little girl dresses up like a mommy. She makes believe that she's a mother. She puts on high heels and she puts on a shetel or whatever, puts on a bonnet. Someday she probably will be a mother. But why should we imitate the Ribbono Shel Olam? He's considering retiring and we're going to take over. Why should we imitate him? So the answer is given in the next pasuk. What does it mean, Kishem Hashem Nikra Lecha? So it's quoted from the Vilna Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu. It was written by the Talmidim of the Gra, that all of mankind was created by Tzelem Elokim. But then you have Tzelem Elokim square, we have the status of Banim Lamokim. So it's not that we are called upon to imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to become someone whom we are not. A person strives to become someone who he isn't, he's going to have a nervous breakdown, he's going to become meshuga. We already have the Tzelem Elokim, we already have the Banim Lamakim status. We should preserve that midah, we should preserve that madrega. So the Pasuk says, in B'nai Yisrael should serve as Or Lagoyim, the Novi Yeshaya says, we're supposed to serve as Or Lagoyim in what area? What, in Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpoch, has no Shaychas, but Duma Solem. It means in Tzelem Elokim, we share in common the Tzelem Elokim. We have a higher madrega with Banim Lamakim, but the Yom HaSalem also have Tzelem Elokim. So the Pasuk says, V'ro Kalami Ha'aretz, when the nations of the world will see that we are acting properly, we're acting with honesty and integrity, and we have a clean Medina, and the Rosh HaMemshalah is not sitting in prison, and the President is not sitting in prison, the Chavri HaKnesset are not taking bribes, and they're voting honestly, when they'll see that we have a wonderful Medina, the Yorum and Mekel, they will learn from us how to act with Yira Shamayim. That's how the Vilna Gaon interpreted the Pasuk. So that's the source of the mitzvah, the source of the principle of Bein Adam L'Atzmo. We have an obligation to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that we have within us. We have to work on all three fronts. Mili de brachas. We always mumble brachas. We don't pay attention. How many times does it happen that a person forgot to say Melech HaKadosh? Daven from a Siddur. Daven a little lower. Daven a little slower. If people say the wrong bracha, they bench, they forget, we'd say Al Yom. So, why don't they pay attention? The Chayyadim points out, Moitzi Shem Shemaim L'Matol. You say a bracha, you just mumble the words, you don't pay attention. We're not careful about the mila of the brachas. People don't know what bracha to say. So everybody knows, say Shahakal and Yoytze B'Riyel. That's what little children that shtick. My children used to say Mizoinus. I don't know where, how they know that one. Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Chayyadim, that B'Riyel said Mizoinus on anything except for Maim and Melech Yoytze. So my children, when they were little, they used to say Mizoinus whenever they didn't know what it was. And maybe they're so used to eating cookies. Maybe that's one. That's B'riyevet. That's not L'chatchila. L'chatchila is supposed to find out what the correct bracha is. You have a breakfast cereal. You have a whatever it is. So call up the organization, the kashrus organization that gives the hashgach, and find out what the bracha is. They know what the bracha is supposed to be. We're supposed to be medaktik, mili de brachas, mili de nezikin, de ralam achaveirin. Just the other day, a fellow called me up on the phone around 11:30 at night, and he tells me, I was half asleep, then he tells me, he's so-and-so, a rabbi's son. His father's out of town, so he's asking me the shayla. Very serious shayla, chumra and hilchas ribbis. That what? Some company is selling telephones at a very discounted rate, but they only sell one to a household because they sell a discounted rate. So this fellow wanted to get an extra telephone at a discounted rate, and he's going to save up his $300. So he asked this fellow, can I use your credit card to buy, to cheat the company? I should get a second phone, so you're going to pay for it, and they're going to deliver it to your home, and then I'm going to pick it up from you. So when the fellow picked it up, so he paid him the money for the credit card, and he gave him an extra $50. Why an extra $50? Like if I rob a bank and I walk off with $1 million from the bank, and there's a guy who's driving the getaway car, I have to pay him $10,000 to drive. So here he paid him $50 because he helped him pull off the Gnei V'Shishtik. So the guy said, the rabbi's son is only worried, it's an Issa Ribbis. Because he used the credit card, the head only thinks in Chumris. Head only thinks in Chumris. Because he used the credit card, and now he's paying him more than the credit card. So I said, it's not an Issa Ribbis. It's not an Issa Ribbis. He's paying you because you're the accessory to the crime, because you helped him cheat for the company. It's not an Issa Ribbis, it's an Issa Gezel from the company. That never occurred to him. People are so into Chumris, they're just... We have to work on all fronts. We have to work on all the fronts. I'm bin Adam Lamokam, I'm bin Adam Lachaveiroi, I'm bin Adam Liatzmai. We shouldn't be satisfied with the fact that B'dievet, if he said Shahakal on anything, he said Mizonis on anything, you Yoytze. Mishnah Berurah points out, and there are earlier sources as well, Beis Halevi has this, if a person does a mitzvah in a way that is only Yoytze B'dievet, and L'chatchila is not Yoytze, that could well be a violation of Bal Tigra. That's exactly what Bal Tigra means. Beis Halevi quotes a Rashbon and Rosh Hashanah. If you wear tefillin that only have three parshias, you wear an Arba Kampos only has tzitzis on three corners, that's not Bal Tigra. It's just not Yotze the mitzvah tzitzis. You're not Yotze the mitzvah tefillin. You're missing a parsha, you're missing a tzitzis, so you're not Yotze. Bal Tigra means, I did the mitzvah in a way that I'm Yotze B'riyevet, but I had the ability to do L'chatchila, and I didn't do the mitzvah B'shleimusa. We do that all the time. We do a lot of things B'riyevet. You're not supposed to do things B'riyevet. We have more than enough money to do things l'chatchila. Forget about all the hidurim, forget about all the chumras. You have to do things properly. You have to spend more time learning. All of us have to spend more time learning. You have to spend time davening. You have to spend time on chinuch habonim. All the basics. You have to make kabbalas. L'kovid a Rosh Hashanah. On a kabbalas nishkin Rosh Hashanah. We should try to make kabbalas in all of these areas. Should all be blessed with good health and a gemach simcha Torah for all of us.